The Bible and Modern Science with your host, Dr. Joseph Henson of the Science Faculty of Bob Jones University. Here is Dr. Henson.
Thank you. We have begun a section of material that I have chosen to call an introduction to the study of creation. And on the last program, we were looking at some statements by Dr. James G. Murphy, who was professor of Hebrew in Presbyterian College in Belfast in the 1800s. The point of this is that there are a number of things that are true, that are necessary as a consequence of creation. And these assumptions, implications that we're discussing are among those that are worth an awareness of. We had seen, first of all, according to Dr. Murphy, that creation, on the basis of creation, that it assumes the existence of God. On the basis of Genesis 1:1 assumes the existence of God, for it is He who in the beginning creates. Number two, it assumes His eternity, for He is before all things, and as nothing comes from nothing, He Himself must always have been. And we were in the process of discussing number three. It implies His omnipotence, for He creates the universe of things. Let's look at some scripture references having to do with this. First of all, in Isaiah 40 and verse 13. Isaiah 40, verse 13. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor, hath taught Him? The obvious answer to these things is nobody. In verse 26 of the same chapter, Isaiah 40, to whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? God obviously is unique. There is no other being like Him. There is no other being with His attributes. Another verse that is worth noting is in Hebrews chapter 11. Let's begin in verse 1. Verse 3 is the verse that we're interested in here. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. A paraphrase of this, so that things prepared were perfectly joined together. Now, both of these have to do with the idea of God's omnipotence, that He has the ability, had the ability, certainly, to create. The fourth of these implications, it implies His absolute freedom. It implies His absolute freedom. Now, again, this is not the kind of thing that most people spend a great deal of time thinking about, but it is certainly worth a little bit of thought. Did God have to create? Was it something that was necessary to Him? The answer to that, of course, has to be no. It was a choice on His part, and He certainly was free in what He did, so that there was no compulsion, no necessity to do that. It implies His absolute freedom, for He begins a new course of action. He spoke into existence a universe which did not exist prior to that time. Again, let's look at some scripture references here. In Psalm 115, verse 3, but our God is in the heavens, He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. Obviously, it pleased God to create the universe as it is, or at least as it was when He created. It's run down a little bit since then. But there was nothing compelling Him in any way to do that. In Psalm 135, Psalm 135 and verse 6, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all deep places. Both of these verses are showing very simply that it was God's choice, and he simply did that which he chose to do. He was not forced to. It was not, there was not any compulsion involved. He was free, and in his freedom and in his choice, he simply produced the universe that you and I live in. One other verse in Daniel 4 and verse 25. Daniel 4, verse 25. Well, put this in context. This, of course, is a passage dealing with Nebuchadnezzar and his pride in all that he had done and God's dealing with Nebuchadnezzar. The point is down at the end of the verse, so hang on while we go through the first part. Daniel 4, verse 25. That they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee. Now here's the conclusion of the verse. Till thou knowest that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. We may make an aside here. This is one of the things that frightens me about our present leadership. The scripture is very plain that God puts up those he wishes and puts down those he wishes. And the present leadership tells me that our nation is in dire difficulties because this immoral individual that we have is the individual that God has chosen to give to this nation. This is the leader, presumably, which we deserve. In any case, this passage in Daniel 4 indicates again that God is simply free to do that which he chooses to do. It implies his absolute freedom, for he begins a new course of action. And these scripture references have been an indication of that. Number 5, it implies his infinite wisdom. His infinite wisdom. Now, there are people, particularly the humanists and others, who constantly attempt to bring into question the matter of God's wisdom. This is not the program to fuss over this unduly, but I hope for those of you who have trusted the Lord as your Savior and who know the Scripture reasonably well, this is simply a nonsensical approach to the things that we observe going on around us. Let me finish the statement. It implies his infinite wisdom, for a cosmos, a dualistic cosmos. Cosmos is simply a word that takes in, it can mean one of two things. It can be applied simply to the earth. The earth is sometimes referred to as the cosmos in the scripture. It also could apply to the universe. But this cosmos is a dualistic cosmos. Again, it is made up of spirit and matter. It implies his infinite wisdom, for a dualistic cosmos, an order of matter and mind, matter and non-matter, matter and spirit. An order of matter and mind can only come from a being of absolute intelligence. A being of absolute intelligence. Now, we look at his omnipotence and his omniscience and some of the rest of these things, but apply that same criteria to his intelligence, the same criterion to his intelligence, absolute intelligence. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 27, the last verse in the book of Romans, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. God is also infinitely wise. In Jude 25, a verse worth noting. Again, the last verse in Jude, only one chapter there. Let's go back to verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you, to guard you, to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Verse 25, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever, the only wise God. The only wise God. Now, the other so-called gods led by Satan, whatever you understand about them, understand that they are not wise. Not wise. By deceit and subtlety and lying signs and a variety of other things, Satan and his servants attempt to present themselves as wise. But you remember, there is only one wise God. That is the God who created all things. And by the way, if you're trying to distinguish between the God of Scripture, the God who provided us the Bible, there is one reasonably simple way to do that. And that is simply, this is the God who created all things. This God who created all things is all-powerful, omnipresent everywhere, but he is also all-wise. Now, the sixth of these, it implies his essential goodness. His essential goodness. Now, this again is something that we hear a great deal of foolishness about. How can a good God allow the sickness and the crippled children and the wars and all the other things that people sometimes bring up? I think it's important for us as his children to understand something about this. Those things are the consequence of sin, either Satan's sin or man's sin. Let me read the rest of the statement to you here as it appears in Dr. Smith's book. It implies his essential goodness, for the sole, eternal, almighty, all-wise, and all-sufficient being has no reason, no motive, and no capacity for evil. This all-sufficient being has no reason, no motive, and no capacity for evil.
Thank you, Dr. Henson. You may send email to Dr. Henson at jhenson@bju.edu. That's jhenson@bju.edu. Or write to Dr. Joseph L. Henson, Box 34621, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, zip code 29614, in the United States of America. You're invited to listen next time for The Bible and Modern Science.